Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Zacchaeus, it's a story not unfamiliar to us, right? Even in Sunday school, we sang about Zacchaeus. Do you remember that song? Zacchaeus was, I can't remember the tune, but Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Well, like last week's sermon by Father Greg on the gospel, this one too is difficult to resist. And in thinking about where we see ourselves in the story, I can relate. And let me share something with you. When I was a young teenager, I was attending a youth event at our local Anglican church with my best friend, whose family were members there. Now, my family was actually a member of the United Church of Canada, but I went to a lot of activities with my friend that were held at her church. So maybe I was destined to become an Anglican. Anyway, at this youth event, there was a young couple making a presentation to us, and they were like really cool, uber cool. They were young. They wore the cool countercultural kind of clothes. This was the 70s. They swore a lot too. So of course, you know, we were rather impressed. They were there planting seeds. They were there to talk to us about opening the doors to others, about being invitational and welcoming, expanding our circle that might not include at the moment churchgoers, kids living on the street, and anybody. Great, we lapped it up. We get it. Yet, in a conversation afterwards, or at one of the breaks, my girlfriend and I were talking to this young woman, and when she was making suggestions about things we could do and ways we might open our doors and connect with others, guess what I said? But then we might get a lot of those kinds of people coming in. This poor woman literally like slapped her forehead, swore somewhat under her breath, but loud enough for me to hear, and said, "What the heck have we been talking about all night?" My girlfriend even rolled her eyes and looked a bit embarrassed. But truly, I was afraid of these kinds of kids. I was quite the goody two-shoes, subject to bullying from these types, and, you know, was more than reticent about this whole idea. So based on this episode of my life, I'm sure you can figure out with whom I would have identified in today's gospel. That funny little story about a wee little man scrambling up a tree to peek over the crowds and satisfy his curiosity about a certain someone as he parades by with his entourage, and who ends up having dinner with him, which really ticks off a whole lot of people. There it is in a nutshell, but let's have a closer look at the players in this gospel, because there's much to uncover in these 10 verses. Of course, first of all, we have Zacchaeus, a reviled tax collector. We've heard over the years what Jews thought about tax collectors, right? But there is more to it than we might understand. We have to explore it culturally. These fellow Jews who collected taxes on behalf of their Roman oppressors, they bid for this work. They even swore allegiance to Rome in order to have the privilege of this lucrative job. Tax collectors weren't paid by the Romans for doing this. Their payment was whatever else they could squeeze from their fellow Jews. An extra cut, a commission, if you like. And if we pay attention, the scriptures tell us Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. And as such, he probably had other collectors working under him, maybe received cuts from them too. Jericho was a lucrative trade hub on the coast. And so Zacchaeus would have done well in that city. There was lots of money, hence lots of taxes to collect. And it goes without saying that the richer he got, the more he was despised. Even today, we all have a certain bias about the rich, don't we? Well, in the eyes of the Jews of Jericho, Zacchaeus had basically sold his soul to the devil. A tax collector was the worst of the worst of all sinners, at the bottom of the heap of sinners, along with prostitutes and pagans. And interestingly, all through the Gospels, whenever there is talk about sinners, tax collectors get a special mention, right? It comes out something like this, you know, blah, 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 and the sinners and the tax collectors, or don't do as these sinners and the tax collectors do. There was a special hate on for these folks. I know maybe I'm belaboring the point a bit, but it ran deep. They were considered to be completely unredeemable. But Zacchaeus, we are told, wants to get a glimpse of Jesus, this chief tax collector. And in the Greek, Zacchaeus doesn't just want to see him. Translated, it would mean more like seeking or searching. So something might have been happening in his heart already. Well, of course, we also have the crowds, the people who had assembled, like Zacchaeus, to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he's traveling through Jericho. This amazing, unorthodox prophet and rabbi. Jesus' reputation had no doubt preceded him by this time. It's actually close to the end of his ministry. So the folks in the crowd are more than just a little upset and, yeah, even astonished that Jesus is asked to go to the home of a self-serving, traitorous, hated, reviled, and unredeemable man. They're more than just a little upset that Jesus has asked to be a guest in the home of the chief tax collector of Jericho. You know, if I put myself in their place, I wonder if I wouldn't be thinking, well, what's wrong with me? Am I chopped liver? I am way more righteous and pious than this guy, certainly more worthy. He's the scum of the earth. I cannot believe Jesus didn't ask to come to my house instead. Anyone here, were you ever one of those kids in class who kind of always had their hands up, right? Ooh, pick me, I know, right? That would have been me too, sorry to say, bit of a know-it-all, teacher's pet, the good kid. And as you probably gather from my earlier story, convinced I was generally of superior character and behavior than most. Well, I bet the people in the crowd would have done the same thing if Jesus had asked, hey, who'd like to invite me to their house for dinner, right? Pick me, pick me. Yet in front of them all, Jesus elevates an unredeemable sinner instead. We're used to hearing about the Pharisees and the scribes complain about Jesus, and there were probably some of them in the crowd spying on him. They had a whole list of grievances about Jesus by this time. But in this case, everyone was affronted by Jesus' actions. Maybe some of the disciples were a bit ticked too, right? I can see them rolling their eyes and going, oh boy, here we go again. Because a lot of them still struggle to understand what Jesus was trying to prove when he did stuff like this. And maybe they felt a bit embarrassed and maybe a little worried too because of their association with Jesus, because he did have a habit of upsetting people. And more than once, they had been on the run for their lives. So we have Zacchaeus, we have the crowds, some curious, some followers, possibly Pharisees in there, Jesus' disciples, and we have Jesus. If we pay attention to the first verse of our gospel this morning, it says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. He was actually on his way to someplace else, to Jerusalem, actually. Jericho was the last place he stopped before his triumphant entry into that city a week before his death and resurrection. So a stop in Jericho was not originally on his agenda, but stop he did when he saw Zacchaeus up in that tree. And interestingly, he calls him by name. He knows who this guy is, even though he's, we assume, never met him before. I suppose Zacchaeus was quite identifiable as he was short, and I suspect his reputation as a chief tax collector in the city had already made its way to Jesus. But then again, maybe Jesus just knows because, well, he's Jesus. In any case, Jesus is well aware what the people there think of this individual. So maybe he thinks, aha, here's a teachable moment. Because prior to his arrival in Jericho, while he was on the road, Jesus had been preaching a lot about the kingdom of God, what we value, you know, what value in was placed on heavenly versus earthly things, who is worthy and who is redeemable. We heard the story last week, right? In the gospel of the Pharisee and the tax collector together at the temple. And there is Jesus' discussion of the peril of hoarding wealth in Luke 12, the parable of the shrewd or dishonest manager, and the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, and the story of the rich ruler who doesn't want to sell all that he have and give his money to the poor and follow Jesus in Luke 18. Funny, a lot of this is tied up with money, isn't it? So up to now, Jesus has been using stories and parables. And now, here is a real life situation in which he can drive the point home. I'll show you what redemption is all about. And so in the presence of everyone, Jesus invites himself into the home of Zacchaeus. So on this day, Jesus wanted Zacchaeus himself and everyone who witnessed this encounter to know that the forgiveness and redemption he had long been speaking about was for everyone who sought after him. Even the worst of the worst, even tax collectors, even the thief on the cross, even you and me. And that's the message we want to shine out from St. George's, don't we? To the disenfranchised, the lost, the wounded and in pain, the lonely, you are worthy, you are loved. No matter what you may have done, no matter who others say you are. A lesson I obviously didn't grasp at that event back in my teens. And the disenfranchised, the lost, the wounded, and the lonely don't have to be out there beyond our church doors. Many may be here already, sitting beside you and me in these pews. And this is something that's difficult to discover until we take time to hear each other's stories. It's been a joy, hasn't it, these past few weeks, hearing from people each week. Zacchaeus, upon experiencing how Jesus reached out to him, saw that he was worthy, saw that he was a child of God, because he says at the end, right, he too is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus is part of the fold of God's chosen people. Only then could Zacchaeus fully offer up his own heart in return, promising not only would he repay everyone he had cheated four times over, which is more even than the Mosaic law required, he would give half of his wealth to the poor. So in this time of discernment now, here at St. George's, we've entered our year of stewardship. What are we willing to give so that we can truly work together as a community to shine our light within and without the walls of St. George's? Yeah, there's time, there's talent, there's treasure. And while it can be challenging or uncomfortable for some of us to consider what we can do, I pray that first and foremost, we can give him our hearts. For when we truly grasp the love that God has for us, the love of the God who sees us as worthy and his own beloved, well, then the rest is easy. Amen.